96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 1st of April, and I have big, big news. I'm getting married. I want to see what all the hype is about. I obviously don't have enough excitement in my life. So I getting married to the first man brave enough. It ain't 12 o'clock yet, eh? Happy April Fool's Day, everybody. Good morning and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On this good Friday, the 1st of April. It's too rough this April. Ain't nobody, no April Fool's jokes allowed, people. Don't get your feelings based up. Nobody on your run today. Especially don't promise me nothing, including your hand in marriage, and then take it back at 12 o'clock. Buddy, if you promise to marry me before 12 today, you gonna marry me after 12 today. Y'all playing around with people's feelings. And as you can see, we already have a lot of people playing around with other people's feelings. To the Honorable Prime Minister, everybody in the OPM's office, it's unfortunate news. I have to inform you that your Wayne Monroe app is broken. It broke. Something happened to it. Maybe it was in shipping. You know, maybe we passed the warranty. Because, you know, in the Bahamas, y'all businesses only like to give 30 days warranty on products. And the rest of the world have 2-year warranty. I think his app is broken. The warranty may have expired. I would suggest just getting your money back. Just get your money back. Don't let them send it to tech support. None of that. Don't let them send it back to the manufacturer. Because I believe they get make on the moon where ministers go fishing. I'm looking for where to insert the word respectfully in this dialogue. I haven't been able to find it. But I will say this. It appears as if the Honorable Wayne Monroe tires of his job as an officer of the state. Very quickly. He got tired dead quick. And what you could do to help all of us out is relieve him of this awesome obligation and let him go back into private practice. Because it appears as if private practice is where he really wants to be. Because you sound like a defense attorney. I mean, you sound like a good one. You sound like the type that we try to get to work for the government until we realize that it can't quite work out, right? You sound like that type, a good defense attorney. And I think that's the critique I prefer, because the other critique suggests something far, far more concerning, sir. It appears as if you all are unable to distinguish between what is your personal opinion and your professional duty. There's a lot I want to touch on your commentary, but I will remind you guys of this. Before you changed the law to unlawful sexual intercourse, it was called statutory rape, recognizing that young people will not, in the face of all good advice, do what is right in the law. And so we create laws to protect them from themselves as well as predators. So the law was created understanding that the child will consent and will say yes. But we have determined that it does not matter and that it is the adult that doesn't bear the brunt or the majority of the weight. They bear all of the weight. Everything falls on the adult. That's why the law was created. I can't figure out why you're trying to make excuses for big, crusty, dusty, supposed to be common sense having adults. And when you say that, well, the penalty for rape is 7, so why would the penalty for what is not technically rape, because we don't want to call it rape because we really appreciate that the girl said yes, right? Like that would only be 4, and that 4 would be excessive. But 7 isn't the maximum penalty for the offense of rape. And certainly these instances are judged on a case-by-case basis anyway. But let's do that. Have you, sir, in your capacity as Minister of National Security, determined that this was only the man's first offense? Have you done an investigation to see how many times he's been brought before the police but didn't quite make it to the courts? Since we're going outside the bounds of the law and everything, have you done that? Your comments, sir, are reckless and dangerous. And I would suggest border on criminal, but I ain't no lawyer. Yesterday I told you who I was, and I told you who I was for a reason, because perhaps you all need to look into the faces of the people you serve and understand who they are and what they've experienced. And no, these women and men and young boys and young girls don't have to get up in Rawson Square and tell you they've been raped or molested for you to believe it or understand the weight of your job. They don't have to. I made the link yesterday to traffic driving behavior so we could understand how we interact with each other and how deeply rooted in our culture this lack of regard for boundaries and bodily autonomy, how deeply rooted in our culture this celebration of rape culture really is. How parents refuse to teach children about consent because that would make them more difficult to govern and rule over. How teachers and parents conspire to not teach children about consent because it would make them more difficult to rule over and control, disregarding the fact that it will make it easier for predators to take advantage of them. We could talk about the bully culture and the rape culture that exists both in governance and in politics, and the disregard for boundaries and laws and procedures and policies that were put in place, not to protect the citizens of the country, because that ain't quite what governance is about, but to protect the resources of the state, and how you all flaunt and disregard them all the time. This is rape culture, people. We get a bunch of rapey leaders in a rapey town, and rapey people just walking around. And we got to change it. I ain't got no children, but I understand how important it is to change it. And I know that because my life was made better by those around me understanding that my mother had one of the most important jobs in the country as a PS and a civil servant. Her job was to take care of others. And so they filled the gap when she couldn't. And that's why I understand it. And that's what it's time for us to do. And so when your leaders stand up and abdicate, give away, ignore, throw it in the bush, their responsibility to you is time for you to stand up and figure out how to govern yourself. That's what it's time for. And I notice, because the guests I have in this room right now, they come to speak to us about one of the most vulnerable communities, populations of people, categories of people in this country. And they, in this conversation, we're going to show you just how important it is for us to recognize this duty of care that we have for one another. And that's just us regular people. That ain't the people who volunteer to do the job, who take an oath to do the job, who get paid buku dollars to do the job, who get elevated into the political class and can do no wrong and can have all things and all rights because they is politician and they is civil servant. Y'all have an extra special duty of care and we expect you to live up to it. Please and thank you. Gonna read these texts here quickly and then we gotta move on. Miss Green, Monroe need to go, A New Day. Great show as usual, prisoners don't tolerate rape of children, so he will more than likely be violated in jail. The judge did not give him a harsh sentence, but Fox Hill Prison will judge him. Buddy, prison culture is a serious thing, but guess what? Those prison authorities have a responsibility to protect that boy in prison in the same way that we, the politicians, people in government, have a duty of care to protect the vulnerable among us. That's just their job. So y'all protect the boy, please. If y'all were doing your job, generally all of us, we wouldn't be in this situation. What a time and comments by Minister of National Security and Magistrate. I didn't read Magistrate's comments. I'm not sure that's who you mean. Where's real true justice? I'm no lawyer, but how could you defend a big adult? Pedophile scum of a man preying and further misleading an underage, immature, even if she was a forward or hot girl. No wonder crime is so high in this nation. And let me show you something, King Man. What you do is you put her in the car and you take her to the police station and you take her inside the police station. That's what you do. Young girls are running up to you, harassing you every day. They tying you up and you can't walk free and be a sensible adult. Take them straight to the police station. That's what you do. That's where you could hog tie him, take him. If they knocking on your bed, they telling your wife, I come to see your man. If that's how big and bold they are, hog tie him, take him to the police station. Because I believe you joking about how hard it is to do the right thing. Anyway, Texas, I got to get back to the text in a minute. I got to get to my guests, and we even get to the sports segment today. Today I have representatives, well, from the autism community. In studio, I have parents of children that are on the autism spectrum, and they're going to talk to us briefly about their experiences in New Providence, in the Bahamas, with autism. Remember, tomorrow, April 2nd, is World Autism Awareness Day, and it's a day where we where member states of the United Nations are encouraged to take measures to raise awareness about people with autism spectrum disorder throughout the world. Before these guys speak, let me just remind you, tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. is the Light It Up Blue ceremony and drive-in event at Queens College on Village Road. Now, the keynote speaker for this event is the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, and remarks will also be brought by the Honorable Glennis Hannah-Martin, Minister of Education, Technical and Vocational Training, Minister Obadiah Wilchcombe, the Minister of Social Services and Urban Development, and Honorable Zane Lightborn, Minister of State for Education, Technical and Vocational Training. There will also be special Easter surprises for the kids and for Aaron, because I come in, if you have an Easter egg hunt, I could be there. And shirts are on sale at the Reach office. For more information, call 328-4123 or WhatsApp 477-6016. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Now, please introduce yourselves. Oh, hold on one moment. I think we got a mic.
We got to get close. Okay. No, I can't hear myself. Oh, the next one. All right. Okay, I got you.
All right, so, Miss Kalma, introduce yourself. Miss Benjamin, I'm going to get you this mic right here. Let's swing this around. And that mic is good, Miss Kalma. All right, so, I got it. Don't worry. You start talking.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Gerda Kalma, and my son is on the autism spectrum. I just recently joined REACH, and I'm here to just share my story in reference to my journey with a child on the spectrum.
Okay. And my name is Dion Benjamin Smith, and I'm a mom of a vibrant, lovely...
Right into the mic.
A vibrant, lovely, wonderful little girl named Catherine. My husband is here also. And we were just recently diagnosed a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and we joined REACH around that time as well.
Absolutely. And so, how has it been beginning this journey in the midst of the pandemic?
Well, because I am the little bit older one, mm-hmm. and we were diagnosed last year around this time, it was... I think at any point when you get that diagnosis, it's going to be very challenging and difficult to accept. The support we got at the time, it was up and down.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to actually find the support we needed. And it's still kind of challenging today in getting the certain things that she may need. But thankfully, there were people... God opened doors with different people, different groups,
mm-hmm.
Including REACH, including other friends, other autism groups. And we were welcomed, and I'm thankful for that. But it was touch and go. It's still a lot of different things that are going on that we need help with, like therapies and trying to find right schooling and
mm-hmm.
right doctors for different things. But I thank God we've taken it one step at a time and we're, keep pressing forward.
Absolutely. Now, I imagine that the sort of concern, right, the weight of it, is not because I have a child that is on the spectrum or is autistic, but because of the reality that the resources required to ensure that your child has equal and equitable access to the world around them, A, and B, to the basic things they need to be able to be in the world around them. I imagine that that's where the weight of the sort of stress comes from, and not any concern with my child. Because I believe that children on the spectrum have secret hidden powers that have not been unlocked yet.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And I believe one of them is a mango whisperer. I believe they know when every mango gets ripe and they could tell you. But living in a world that can only, that limits what we can see and what we ascribe value to. How are your children, like when you got the diagnosis, did that change their sort of awareness of themselves?
For me, with my son, initially he was fine. It's maybe around the 18 months, I started to see some issues.
Yeah.
And so we went to doctors, and most doctors were like, he's 18 months, let's wait and see how it goes. And so eventually I decided to actually get him assessed. And when I did, I knew something was wrong. We, as parents, we know when mm-hmm. something is wrong. And so you were preparing yourself from then, but to actually hear it and to actually try to figure out, okay, where do I get help? Like, this thing is kind of emotional for me, because where do I get help for my child? I know that my child can be everything that God has created him to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if God placed him on this earth, there's a purpose for our children, for my son, but where do I get this help? And the thing is, in trying to get help, it is very costly. The mm-hmm. average individual cannot afford the therapies, the assessments alone, is a hefty fee for you to find. So apart from finding proper schooling for your children, you now have this hefty bill that you have to now try to find, because as a parent, you don't want to see a child suffer. At the end of the day, I want to know that, hey, when I am no longer here, my child could be here to do everything for himself and be a productive citizen of the
country. And we'll have somebody to advocate on their behalf with the commitment that I, a parent or a family member, would do.
Right.
So I know that REACH exists, right? And REACH is an awesome support group and more than a support group. But are there other bodies, organizations, mechanisms, individuals that exist in the community to support people with autism spectrum disorder?
Yes. The REACH is the most prominent and probably the most powerful, with the support of government, with the support of civil society. They have, unfortunately, a lot of members, you know. Mm-hmm. Children are being diagnosed every day. But yes, they are. I know of one, another group called Families on the Spectrum Bahamas. Mm-hmm. That's another autism advocacy group. What I'm understanding is they're different. There's the same goal is to help our kids. Mm-hmm. All of us want to help our children. They may have different focus. REACH may be awareness, acceptance, that kind of thing. Whereas I know Families on the Spectrum is more about action. We have to get some stuff done.
Right.
A lot of people know about it. A lot of people are aware. They are compassionate. But now we have to get stuff done. And we need these resources.
So we have support and we got activism. Now we need advocacy, right? Because I'm thinking, you know, the government, like there's an obligation to both parents and the state that children must be in school up to a certain point in time. And it doesn't, I don't think the legislation excludes people with special learning needs or people with intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. And so surely at some point we can advocate for the diversion or reallocation of resources for this specific space. But not just that, I see it as an intersection of ministries that should and I think are obligated to get involved, including Ministry of Housing and Transport, and it's great that the two of them are together.
Yeah.
Social services, because like you say, what are the plans for adults after their primary caretakers or caregivers have passed on?
Right.
And also this, and I would just want to draw it into the conversation briefly, understanding that people with autism are also sexual beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so equality means that they can also have sex, they can also A, B, and C, but equity means that you understand that someone with an intellectual disability, someone who may be on one end of the spectrum versus the other, may have an entirely different experience with negotiating consent, negotiating intimacy, and do those... Do the stakeholders, do the people in positions of power understand the need to take that into account when creating policy, when lobbying for or pushing forward legislation? And do we as a society acknowledge that people with autism are also sexual beings? They will also have sexual desire. They also need to be handled respectfully, carefully, in the system, understanding that while we are all equal, equity demands that they be treated, you know, differently.
Absolutely. But if we're having this kind of difficulty with neurotypical people, how much more with neuroatypical people? Mm-hmm. The obligation of government with regards to education, let's just choose that area, is that every single Bahamian citizen has the right to be educated the way they need to be educated, whether they're typical learning people, if they're blind, if they're deaf, if they're on the spectrum, if they have learning disabilities. Everyone has the right and they have the obligation to give that to them. We see that we have problems already in normal education, in normal schools, typical schools with kids and all the issues that we're having in education. Imagine how much more it is for kids on the spectrum. The government does have resources, they do have, but it is woefully lacking, considering especially that every day somebody else is being diagnosed.
Yeah.
They have one pod here in one school, Garvin-Tines, or they have it in another school, but the it's being exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, it's already exhausted.
Yeah.
And there needs to be so much more support. And that's, and it's not only the governments, it's, you know, civil society, it's corporate, because it's going to affect every family at some point. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't, you know, right. We already have an interesting point that a friend in the group said was that there are about roughly 8,000 people in the Bahamas mm-hmm. diagnosed on the spectrum. That's what mm-hmm. we know of.
Yeah.
And that's about two constituencies of New Providence, the size of two constituencies.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has power.
Yeah.
And we are, as a group of parents who are absolutely committed to trying to do the best we can, we are about trying to get, again, awareness, acceptance, but we need action.
Mm-hmm.
We need help. And that is the focus of, you know, our everyday. You know, when we first diagnosed, I was told, the first thing I was told by someone in the autism community is that most parents, they go away. They leave the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be an autism mm-hmm. refugee.
No.
I want to be able to be serviced and helped and cared for in mm-hmm. my nation.
Right.
I don't want to have to go to the States.
And it's essentially, right. it's a health refugee, right?
Exactly.
Dear Ministry of Health, you thought we forgot you're supposed to be billing us in your hospital. We have health refugees, right? People who
That's
have
right.
to leave mm-hmm. because they cannot access the most basic services that are supposed to be guaranteed to them
yes.
under the Constitution.
Right.
And I just want to say, how many meats did y'all actually serve at the gala? I just want to know, how many meats did you serve at the gala? And that'll give us a good assessment of where we're in this process. Now, ladies, I got to get to my sports segment. I don't want y'all to leave because I got an idea. I got an idea. The Bahama Games are coming back. And I'm very excited, and I hope that the government is prepared to make a way for everybody
Including,
to participate
yes.
in this great and awesome activity. So let's, producer, let's go to a break. I got to bring Mr. Eric Sawyer III in. Now, this is the gentleman that is committed to, he's not committed to being my husband, because that's a hefty task. I wouldn't put that on no man. But to teaching me and learning me about sports. Because I was a biggity behemoth woman, I make things up on the fly. So, producer, let's go to the break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to sort of transition to our sports segment. But you guys, don't leave. We got to continue the conversation. You tuned into Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Ready to save? You can put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Guardian Radio 96.9 celebrates 10 years as the country's first ever and only all-news talk radio station.
Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio.
Guardian 96.9 FM.
Come, join Guardian Radio 96.9 in this wonderful celebration of 10 years on the air by placing your ad in the Nassau Guardian's special anniversary tabloid publication.
Guardian Radio 96.9.
We have fantastic anniversary rates just for this occasion. Imagine full, half, and quarter page ads in color or black and white at the lowest rates ever.
And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio.
And you can get 10 radio spots between April 11th and 15th for only $302. Prices include VAT. Call your account executive today at 302-2300. 302-2300. And get your ad in by Wednesday, April 6th. Come. Celebrate with Guardian Radio 96.9. 10 years of fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know
how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
One thing there is no debate about is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. And I'm looking at his April Fools all around. But I tell you, he's going to have a sports segment. I tell you, he was going to get to the sports segment. Good morning, Mr. Eric Sawyer.
Good morning. How are you?
I am, I am better than the Lakers.
Yeah.
I watched that game last night.
Yeah, the Jazz did indeed beat him up 122-109. But LeBron didn't play. AD didn't play.
Right.
Hopefully
and Davis didn't play. LeBron didn't play, right?
Yeah. Hopefully he played tonight. Big game tonight.
I watched this game, third quarter, Jazz are up by 13 points. And then the score goes down to 10, right? It's at midnight. So I say, man, I get to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz going to beat them, right? But the score dropped from 15 to 10.
Yeah, the Lakers made a run.
The gap, right? So I say, okay, I'm going to bed. And then with the boy named Bogdanovich. Anyway.
Bogdanovich.
Mm-hmm. That boy hit a three-pointer and it was over. And I say, you know what? The Lakers ain't coming back from this. I just had to go to my bed. I have never been so disappointed by a man before. And you need to write the Lakers, Eric, and tell them that's why Erin Green can't marry no man, because that boy Westbrook ruined it for everybody.
Westbrook.
Yeah. Westbrook.
Westbrook.
This is just
that
sadness.
That boy Bellin House, boy. That boy Bellin House. He don't, nothing except bricks.
I read Kai Jones had a great night playing in like the G League, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Playing for the Swarm.
He getting there.
Yeah.
He getting there.
Doing big things.
Well, by next year, he can be a force to be reckoned with.
Buddy Heil had an amazing heel day. I never married that man. I don't need to call his name, right? Y'all just getting... Anyway, dear foreigners, Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad, Buddy. My bad. Anyway, this guy has moved into the 50th place in career three-pointers made.
Quick as that.
Yeah.
Just reach.
Right, but it gets better than that. There's another stat. Hield has made more three-point goals than any other player through the first 400 games of their NBA career. And
better than Steph, better than Clay.
That's all I needed
to say. Better than Larry Bird, than Reggie Miller, better than Ray Allen.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I like, about this guy? I like his off the court demeanor and attitude.
Still a behemoth.
When they were interviewing him about the transition to the Pacers, you know, I said, this boy, he is savvy. He said, listen, you know, we're doing well over there. I'm in a different position. My coach has given me a different role so I could do different things.
And I will embrace it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Hield.
I can't. It's the I before the E.
Yeah.
Because the day after a C. That's all right. You're from Grand Bahama, buddy, and I can get your name right.
Yeah.
Oh,
you get it right because, you know, like, you know, they don't play Porkin.
No, they play Porkin. No, I don't want to play Pokey. No, we're not playing Pokey. Not in New Providence.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other news, the 9th annual Bahamas Youth Olympic Championship sails in Montague Bay. So these young people were sailing. That's why the prince was there. The prince was there to encourage these young people to get to the Olympics.
We also have a regatta going on in Exuma this weekend.
Nobody told me.
Yeah.
I need to get on a boat. I can't fly. Yeah. I can't afford to fly.
I'm not sure if it's the mainland or whatever, but this is the first one. And, you know, so the airports lie along like trains smoke together.
What? Exuma?
Exuma.
Look here. We come into Exuma. I mean, somebody sent me the virtual link. You're zooming the regatta, right?
Yeah.
Some of us in Nassau, we can't make it, but we won't be there.
Yeah, and my little cousin playing ball tonight in the AF Adelaide gym. He plays for the UB.
The Mingos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool because the national basketball season is back up. Was it the national?
NPBL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got it right here somewhere. You know, women like
the Providence Basketball League.
Yeah.
I got you.
So they had been down over the pandemic and they started yesterday.
Yeah.
Or they're going to start today. Anyway, the point is this, they're going right into the championships. So if you were on that cliffhanger waiting to see what happened, they're going right back where they left off.
Yeah, my game starts 8:30. I'll be there.
And I think it's $3 to get in.
Yeah, no problem.
But just have $5 in your pocket in case I am incorrect. The college athletes outdoor season are underway. And I got to mention this because Antonique Strawn blazed her way to a world-leading and personal best 10.99 seconds in the 100 meters.
And you know, she said by her own admission this week, she's not a sprinter. That's unbelievable. That's talent.
Yeah, man. But
that's
listen,
God-given yeah. talent.
How you say that? I got a number of track stories here, right? Our friend Matu, is that how you pronounce it?
Timothy Mathau, you mean?
Mathau, yeah. The former, the Olympian, not
yeah.
former,
mm-hmm.
the Olympian. Anyway, he's based in Orlando. And he said he's retiring from track and field this year. But what was interesting about it, the story's in The Guardian, it's called Golden Knight Calls It a Day. Michael Mathau, third runner for the Golden Knights. He ran, I think, the 400. But like he won the Olympics in a different thing. He became a quarter miler of all time, right? But he's the second fastest Bahamian ever in the men's 200 meter.
Pa-anan.
And so for me, like 400 and 200 is a sprint. 400 is an Igadad.
Yeah.
400 is
I can drive a 400.
Right. But yeah. I ain't gonna run it now. I ain't gonna make it. So anyway, we want to say, look here, Mathau, congratulations. We're not mad that you're retiring. You know why? Because this guy has a basketball camp that he's running, I think, in Orlando. And he has a project called Speed Begins.
Oh, you have the name of his camp?
No, I think that it was in the story.
Okay.
But it's a track.
We have to encourage these 6'3" quote unquote centers over here.
Yeah.
To get to that tournament. To get to that camp over there.
Right. So you could learn how to be gods.
That they're gods.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
In NBA,
boy,
6'3".
And sometimes culture is the biggest obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
There's like just a little cultural shift. It's the biggest obstacle. When I was in boarding school, I was playing netball, right? And netball is like basketball with no backboard.
With no backboard, yeah.
And you can't dunk because like it's British and it's impolite or something, but I tried. Anyway, I was playing offense and I loved it. Okay, I love that. Because in the Bahamas, I'm not the best offensive player, but netball in Britain, I was bomb, right? Until one day I blocked somebody. Eric, I base their ball so high, I had to apologize for letting the Bahamian come out. And my coach looked at me and said, you are never playing offense again.
Mm-hmm.
And I never played offense again. In netball, right? And I was mad. The first three or four games, I was mad. Because I finally like to score. I get to score. But no, I ended up playing defense. But that little cultural block, you know, could be the biggest barrier to your success. But that ain't why I call you here today, Mr. Sawyer. I call you.
I want to talk about the Final Four.
I don't care about the Final Four. I call the Bahama Games, boy. The Bahama Games.
They are indeed back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Bahama Games are back. And so if I could just read quickly, with the Bahamas set to celebrate its 50th. Oh, producer, I see the board lighting up, right? But I miss and move the phone, so I'm not sure if those are actual calls or if that's Jesus telling me to behave on the radio today. Yeah. So this story is from the Nassau Guardian. Yesterday's Nassau Guardian, I think. The Bahama game set for July 2023. With the Bahamas set to celebrate its 50th independence celebrations, the Golden Jubilee, next year, Boleg, the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, dubbed the games the Bahamas Golden Jubilee Games. The games are scheduled to be held July 6th through 14th, 2023. So,
I ain't going to work that week.
But I ain't going to work.
That's over. That is over. But don't ask for me.
Right.
I got to go to every single game being held.
Listen, Ministry of Finance, I need you to go to Customs and drop the duty on what they call that, like, kinetic tape. I gonna need, me and about half of the country gonna need all the kinetic tape you could find.
You intend to play?
Yeah, if I could tape up everything.
Yeah, I mean, you're tape up, you got to mummify yourself.
Listen, and, I got a year, point. First of all, I got a year plus tortis.
Right.
And train. A train.
Yeah.
And, right? And to get insurance.
Hopefully you don't pull nothing, spray nothing, or break nothing.
Right. And please, if you, please get insurance if you're going to participate in the, because the Treasury can't take it.
No, you can't take them.
But more importantly,
NHI ready screen.
The article doesn't say what age categories are going to be competing, but we got to have a senior category.
Yeah, because it's been so long. Most people who's playing then are senior now.
Right. They're 2 years off. And most of them done retire.
Yeah.
We need to have a middle-age category.
Okay, that's for the producer then.
And then we need to have a big belly category. Which is,
yeah,
like, you...
COVID got plenty of people looking like they eat flour and water. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying we're gonna loosen up the rules.
Tree meat on a Tuesday. What are you doing? Anyway, that's another story for
them. And
that's a sport into itself.
The sports that they are going to be competing in are softball, basketball, track and field, lawn tennis, swimming, field and beach soccer, indoor and beach volleyball, bodybuilding, powerlifting. Listen.
Like I said, I'm not going to work.
If you work on the mail boat, powerlifting is your sport.
Yeah.
Then KBC, he had to lift the biggest box in the world
he ever saw.
Boxing, cycling, baseball, youth Olympic sailing, regatta sailing, and golf. That's my music. I got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to put in my petition because golf don't need to be there. Porking need to be there. We're going to a break. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, Autism Speaks, and Mr. Eric III. We'll be right back.
When I got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. That's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Sorry, I was thinking about how much tape I gonna need. First of all, you need to have ocean free floating. I mean, the Bahamas, how do you not have ocean free floating or synchronized bubbling or synchronized swimming on this list?
at least a dive and conk, eat a big plate of food.
Right.
At least. And then see the first one, the blackout.
Right, and we got we got multiple categories, right? See, for the young people, the competition is in church on Sunday morning after Saturday night, right? That's a dive and conk competition. But for old head like me, it is Saturday night in the club.
Yeah.
Dive and conk. Our age range competition. But more importantly, Miss Culmer and Miss Benjamin, what I am hoping to see, because we got over a year plus, is the inclusion of activities for people on the spectrum, people with autism, people with intellectual disabilities. And I'm thinking, because we're talking about a spectrum, we know that some people with autism can compete in the professional sports, or regular Olympics, not normal Olympics. Right. We don't say that. Regular Olympics. And so having autism doesn't prevent or preclude their physical prowess or ability. But for some people on the spectrum, they may not necessarily be able to compete at that level. It's not about the talent or skill. So I think that we could have a requirement, inclusion of. So we are encouraging people with autism who can compete in a regular competition or in junior boys or senior men competition. But I think we should also have a competition for people on the spectrum who can't or don't necessarily want to compete with other people, right? In the other categories. Right. And I know I have to find the right language. I'm working on it. Intersecting with sports. But I think that's a possibility. And I think it will raise awareness. It will grow support. It'd be a wonderful opportunity for family members of these people to also come out and watch them do what they know they could always
and
do.
Definitely support.
Yeah.
Because you know it can be loud.
Yeah, you know it can be loud. Absolutely. Yeah. So Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture and Ministry of Social Services, y'all got to get...
All ministries.
Yes. Any ministry. Everybody. Listen up.
You got to get on it. I think this would be a great idea. Have you discovered sporting activities or recreational activities for members of the community existing before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and are there like online activities? So I know we organize festivals like Pride festivals and things online. We even had dance parties online. Are there virtual activities for young people during this pandemic time?
Well, certainly to go back to the idea of sports and persons on the spectrum. The spectrum is called a spectrum because they range from one end to the next.
Yeah.
And the saying goes, you know one person with autism, you know one person with autism.
Right.
They're all different, and they all have, and because generally a strength, a superpower that kids on the spectrum have or young people on the spectrum have is incredible focus, incredible dedication, incredible attention to detail. Applying those traits to something that's a physical activity would absolutely go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
I know with our daughter, she's extremely interested in everything physical. She's not the most adept at things as far as physicality because of being on the spectrum and her dexterity and things like that. But she absolutely adores doing anything physical, whether it's swimming, horseback riding, basketball, soccer, tennis, anything like that. She's all there for. And I would imagine many, many more kids are that way. Things that have been online, I don't know. I'm not really conscious of that. But certainly during the pandemic, the Reach organization was there. We were always on WhatsApp. You know, it's a very active WhatsApp group. And we're just happy that we're coming out and we're going to have this lighted up ceremony for the first time in 2 years. And it's a really big deal for Reach for the ceremony and to have those government officials there. I'm really hoping somebody will hold their feet to the fire at that ceremony so that we can really get some promises, and not just promises, but real dedication that where there's a will, we can get a lot of things for our community, including sporting activities. And I would imagine if the Bahamas Games people could connect with the Special Olympics Bahamas people, they may be able to do something. That would be an interesting collaboration.
All right, all right. So we're almost all out of time, and I ain't giving my friend Mr. Sawyer much time to talk at all. So this is the last thing I want to say. I'm going to throw a little shade, because throwing shade should be the national sport of the Bahamas.
Go on.
Dear QC people, do you know there is a school for special needs students right next to your campus, immediately next to your campus? Cool. So what I'm going to need you all to do is stop parking on the sidewalk where students are supposed to walk and where special needs people are going to, you know, need to be safe. Right there. I'm going to need you all to stop doing that. I've been asking you all to do that for years now, almost a whole decade. We've been asking parents of QC students to stop parking. And the Pip Blairwood or whatever the school is right there, y'all stop parking on the sidewalk, because students and vulnerable people need the sidewalk to stay safe. We talk about consent and boundaries and the right of way. These issues are rooted far deeper than just our sexual interaction. It's everywhere, everywhere in our society we can find these spaces in which we need to treat each other better. Okay, let's play that music, sir. Play that music. Listen, you guys got to hit up the Guardian and the Tribune for all of these sports headlines. School golf championships wrap up. Michelle, DMACC Bears finished fourth at Jimmy's Spring Swing. Athletes get set for Carifta trials starting Friday. Small Schools Athletic Association basketball postseason underway. NPBA action resumes tonight. College athletes get outdoor season underway. There's so much news out there. And Eric, tell us one big thing. NFL, NBA, MLB.
Bruce Arians is no longer the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was promoted / demoted. He's now in the front office. They have now promoted the defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, to be the head coach of the Bucs.
Wow.
So Tom Brady came back, and, you know, him and Bruce Arians was never on good terms, really.
I was about to say.
They put it together for a championship.
Bruce
Arians is crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Publicly. And, you know, Bill Belichick could have cursed out Tom Brady. That's fine. Bill had rings to back up.
Yeah.
Bruce didn't have no rings, and Kirsten O'Demand, who come in there with six rings.
Wait, look here. Every day you come here and tell me more and more about how Tom Brady is a bohemian. Tom Brady got to be a bohemian.
Yeah, but you ain't going to talk to him any kind of way.
Especially when you ain't got no credentials
to back it up.
Yeah.
So now he's in the front office. Todd Bowles is the coach, and we'll see, because the NFC is definitely weaker than the AFC, because, you know, Russell Wilson, everything else, you know, the Raiders.
All right. Boy, look here. I didn't think...
The Dolphins look good now.
Wait, listen. We gotta go. I got my megaphone for you guys.
Yeah, the Dolphins looking kind of good. They're looking good for a first-round exit. Yeah, they're looking really good.
Eric, we are all out of time. Man, the NFL is hotter than Bahamian politics this week, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this week is where it's at.
Yeah. Don't worry. Next week, we talking all sports.
Gotcha.
Mainly Bahamian, but all sports definitely.
All sports.
Ms. Culmer, Ms. Benjamin, thank you so much for joining and sharing with us some of the experiences that parents on the spectrum are dealing with as well. We thank you for the commitment you've made, not just to your children, but to all children in the country. Thank you so much, and we're going to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Remember, Light It Up Blue Ceremony tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. at Queens College. Don't park on the sidewalk. They got a big, big parking lot. Don't park on the sidewalk. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next. And remember, the new show on the lineup, Talking Heads, 4 to 6 p.m. with the one and only Naughty. Have a great day.
Boy, I got a power.